So we're reading apparently from text 4, Canto 3, chapter 14, text 4, where I thought it was 3. But anyway, it's okay. There wasn't a purport to that one anyway. The previous verse was, when was the reason, O Brahmana, for the fight between the... what was the reason, O Brahmana, for the fight between the demon king and Lord Boar while the Lord was lifting the earth as his pastimes? And verse 4 is... Translation. My mind has become very inquisitive, and therefore I am not satisfied with hearing the narration of the Lord's appearance. Please, therefore, speak more and more to a devotee who is faithful. Translation responsively. My mind has become very inquisitive. And therefore I'm not satisfied with hearing the narration of the Lord's appearance. Please, therefore,
speak more and more
to a devotee who is faithful. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One who is actually faithful and inquisitive is qualified to hear the transcendental pastimes of the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vidura was a suitable candidate to receive such transcendental messages. I was going to do the next verse as well, if you don't mind, and the translation for that is, the great sage Maitreya said, O warrior, the inquiry made by you is just befitting a devotee, because it concerns the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the source of liberation from the chain of birth and death for all those who are otherwise destined to die. And purport again by Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya addressed Vidura as a warrior, not only because Vidura belonged to the Kuru family, but because he was anxious in hearing about the frivolous activities of the Lord in his incarnations as Vraha and Nrisimha. Because the inquiries concerned the Lord, they were perfectly befitting a devotee. A devotee has no taste for hearing anything mundane. There are many topics of mundane warfare, but a devotee is not inclined to hear them. The topics of warfare in which the Lord engages do not concern the war of death, but the war against the chain of Maya, which obliges one to accept repeated births and deaths. In other words, one who takes delight in hearing the war topics of the Lord is relieved from the chains of birth and death. Further, foolish people are suspicious of Krishna's taking part in the battle of Kurukshetra. Not knowing that his taking part inspired liberation for all who were present on the battlefield. It is said by Bhishma Dev that all who were present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original spiritual existence after death. Therefore, hearing the war topics of the Lord is as good as any other devotional service. Omagana timiranda syaganandana shalakaya chakshuram militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Namo om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gaudavani Pacharine Nevise Shashunivari Pashachade Shatarine. Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Galadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Vidyananda Goswami. So this is a really special day today. It's probably one of the most special days for a long, long time, or, you know, in the history of mankind, actually. Because today we're celebrating Srila Prabhupada's 50th arrival to the United States, but some say it's also a commemoration of the beginning of Krishna consciousness in the Western world. So this is a huge, huge occasion. In fact, I found out last night from my boss, Anutama Prabhu, that in Boston, it's not today actually, it was yesterday exactly on the 18th, but we're celebrating it today. But yesterday in Boston, it was the first time that at Parliament House they raised the Indian flag in commemoration of Srila Prabhupada's landing in Boston. So this was a huge thing for the government to actually recognize and respect the amazing thing that Srila Prabhupada did. So this was the first time that the Indian flag was raised. Should have been the Vaishnava flag, but... in the Bhagavatam verse today we're studying, it's quite relevant. Those verses are really quite relevant because here we have Vidura inquiring from Maitreya so many details of the various pastimes of the Lord. And we know from the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and also the instructions that are given here that to hear the pastimes of the Lord can liberate one from birth and death, from this cycle of birth and death, repeated birth and death. So it's our duty as a devotee to continuously remember the pastimes of the Lord, all the different pastimes. And as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10.9, Machitamatgatapanam, that those pastimes are ever relishable and the devotees constantly think about those pastimes and they give great bliss and also liberation. And they're constantly conversing about Krishna, all the different pastimes and incarnations of Krishna, always talking about those different incarnations. So they're ever fresh. It's not like we get bored with it, you know, like when a child grows up, if they've read the Hansel and Gretel story a couple of times and then mum and dad say, shall I read the Hansel and Gretel story again to you? You know, the kids go, oh no, I've heard that one. You know, I don't want to hear that one anymore, I want to hear something else. But to hear the pastimes of Krishna is always fresh, ever fresh. Always getting new, exciting things happening. And the reason for that is that, you know, because a devotee is transmitting or is reading those pastimes of the Lord, they're actually transmitting a transcendental, they're giving a spiritual transmission to the hearer. So it's really important that, as stated by the different Shastras, that we hear from a devotee these pastimes of the Lord. Sometimes in my dealings with other faith traditions, especially other Hindu traditions, they sometimes even Mayavad people, they sometimes relate the pastimes of Krishna, but there's no juice there. You know, there's no real feeling of devotion. Even sometimes, you know, you get an opportunity to watch those Bollywood movies about the pastimes of Lord Ram or about Krishna. We as devotees see it in a different way, but for a person just watching that, it's really quite mundane. You know, they put so many material connections to it, which makes it a mundane sort of thing. So that spiritual transmission of the pastimes of the Lord to the hearer is done because it's being read by a devotee. Now, the Lord doesn't just appear on demand, you know, like if we want the Lord to appear. He comes in His own time. And, you know, either in His personal appearance or the incarnation of a boar, or Krishna can do whatever He likes, when He likes, and He'll appear whenever He likes. Similarly, He appears in the sound vibration of His holy name at His own liking. And He appears also... you know, you get a feeling of Krishna in the appearance of His appearance in different pastimes when you read the different pastimes, and so the Lord is—it's totally up to Him when He wants to manifest Himself to the individual. And this is the mercy of the Lord. This is the amazing thing. The Lord will only reciprocate with a loving heart. He will only reciprocate with a devotee who is loving, who is interested in the Lord. So, just recently we had our Janmashtami celebrations at our home. Transcendental sounds. At our home. And I was saying there that actually there are so many different Janmashtami moments in our life. Is that your telephone? Better get it. There are so many Janmashtami moments in our life, you know, when Krishna will appear to us. And it can be during a kirtan, it can be doing deity worship, it can be also while we're reading the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna all of a sudden will make Himself known to you. He'll all of a sudden manifest Himself to you. And that's a Janmashtami moment. Krishna is born in your heart. You actually get that feeling of Krishna. And He only appears if there is sincere bhakti or love for Him. And in reading, it only happens when there's sincere bhakti and love by the reader. And also, there has to be sincere inquiry and inquisitiveness, as is pointed out here by Vidura. There has to be that inquisitiveness to hear. So this is really important. So there's reciprocation by the Lord. If we read his pastimes, it's not phantasmagoria, it's not an imaginary thing, it's not just Hansel and Gretel or some other story, it's real. Krishna is manifesting these pastimes. Somewhere in some universe, this is actually happening. This is news. You know, and Krishna is manifesting himself. And if we read it with sincerity, if we read these pastimes with love, then actually Krishna will manifest himself before us and we'll see it in the pages that we're reading. And Krishna will awaken that love for him. So even in a preaching situation, sometimes we may be in a situation where we're giving a talk or a lecture or something, either in a school or anywhere really. And some people are receptive and some people are not. You know, some people are inquisitive and they give you attention when you're explaining about Krishna consciousness, and others are not. And so they miss out. There was really an amazing thing. This whole Krishna consciousness is such an amazing thing, that reciprocation of the Lord. I was thinking about this just recently when, during the week, I was unable to attend it, but they had this program of the welcoming of deities to different grihastas' homes, and Bhakti was helping with that. So there were different sets of deities, and Vedavyasa Priya Maharaj was there, all the exalted Prana was there, Prana Prabhu was there, all the senior devotees were there, and this was a joyous time because these devotees were welcoming the deity of Krishna to their home. And this is really an amazing thing. When you think about it, you're inviting Krishna to your home. Your home no longer belongs to you, materially, at all. Never did, but technically speaking, you have to see when the deities arrive, you now become the leasor of the house. The house becomes Krishna's house. Even if you're renting, it doesn't matter. The house becomes Krishna's house. And Krishna is the center of that house. If you treat it in that way and you do the deity worship in that way, if you treat Krishna in this way, that he's the owner of this house and we are simply the servants here at this house serving him, then actually Krishna reciprocates with you. And when you wake up in the morning and you offer your obeisance to these deities in your home, Krishna in your home, he reciprocates with you and he'll reciprocate with you during the day. When you come home from work, again, you bow down before the deity, your deity of Krishna, and he enthuses you to, again, take up Krishna consciousness. Hear more about me. Learn more about me. Chant my holy name. Feel the ecstasy of chanting my name. He inspires you. So Prabhupada was very, very adamant that we all have, as grihastas, and the majority of people in ISKCON at the moment are grihastas, that we have deities in our home and we worship them. And we understand that they are the proprietor. And then Krishna reciprocates. You actually get flashes where Krishna is actually reciprocating with you. Where he actually, in your heart, you know, oh, Krishna is actually here. Krishna is actually benedicting me. He's actually providing his mercy to me to be here. So it's a very, very special gift. So we have to not be in that mindset that Krishna is our prasadam manufacturer. You know, we've got toasters, we've got ice cream makers, we've got microwaves, we've got so many different facilities in our home for our food. Krishna and the deities are not just another facility to make the food into prasadam. We offer these things for Krishna for his satisfaction. So we have to be really mindful as far as the deity worship is concerned. So Krishna manifests himself in so many different ways, and sometimes, especially when you're giving a lecture or a talk to somebody that's completely new to Krishna consciousness, you know, people have no idea, and you start explaining about Krishna consciousness, and some people, their eyes will light up, and it really hits the point with them, you know, and they're ready to understand, they're inquisitive, like Vidura, they're wanting, and they're going, give me more, and others in the crowd are just not interested, and they sort of drift off, and yeah, not interested. I had a little bit of an experience like that just recently. I had the opportunity, I was invited to go to a special conference which was orchestrated by the Catholic Church in response to a plea made by Pope Francis, the new Pope, the new Catholic Pope. And there were people from all different religions, but mainly they were Christian people. And so I was there. And it was quite interesting. this little nun, an Irish nun, the typical Irish nun, still dressed in her habit, everything with the whole little tight face and everything. Cute as, just real cute little lady, you know. Irish too, you know. So I was dressed as a devotee, and she said, "Oh, you're looking very nice in your course there. Who are you representing, you know?" And she said, "Well, actually, I'm representing the Hare Krishna movement." "Oh, the Hare Krishna movement." And she said, "Oh, I saw them in Dublin. They're very happy people chanting in the streets." And so she wanted to know all about Krishna consciousness. You know, why do you do this? Don't you worship many gods? I said, "No, we worship just one God. Our one God is Krishna." "Oh, Krishna, Krishna's most, sounds a bit like Christ." I said, "Well, yeah, there's sort of a link." Anyway, it was really interesting. So she was inquisitive and she was inquiring. And it's just really amazing, you know. So this was great. Then another guy came up to me and he said, "Oh, who are you representing?" You know. And sometimes people say, "Why do you wear devotional clothes?" You know. And there are time and place for different clothing. And but at an occasion like that, that really stimulated people's interest in who you were. And one man came up and he said, "So who are you representing?" You know, I said, "Well, I'm with the Hare Krishna movement and I've been invited here from the Hindu Community Council, Hindu Council of Australia. I'm representing Vaishnava Hindus." "Oh, really? Oh, ISKCON," he said. He's a priest, right? "ISKCON." I said, "Yeah, ISKCON. You know ISKCON?" He said, "Yes, yes, yes, I know ISKCON." He said, "I was just recently in Malaysia." Now he's a priest. And he said, "I had to do this service in a Catholic church in Penang." I said, "Oh, really? When was that?" "Just recently," he said. And I said, "Well, we just opened a big temple in Malaysia." And he said, "Yes, I know. I went there." After I did my service, he said, "You know, my friends were saying, 'Oh, they're opening this huge temple in Penang. You have to come and see it.'" So he said, "All right, let's go." So he went. And he was just there at the time that they were bathing the deities with the shower, right? And he said, "This was so glorious." So sometimes people also criticize us, why do we have big, big temples? But it actually attracts people. So you can see how when the TVOP starts to happen, the big temple in Mayapur, this is going to attract so many people. People are attracted. And if there's an interest, if it sparks an interest, then we can provide information. So a devotee, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Only by undivided devotional service can I be understood." So even a little increment of devotional service will enthuse and encourage a person to learn more and more and more and more. So eager to hear. So a devotee of the Lord in all sincerity and by developing purity wants to please the Lord, bringing him transcendental pleasure. So in actual fact, we simply want to be servants of the Lord. Whether it's deities in the home, whether we're reading the Shastra, whether we're chanting our hours, we have to be servants of the Lord. And this example of being the perfect servant of the Lord, it culminates in one of the greatest events of human history, and that is the advent of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, gracing us with His mercy to come to the Western world. This is the day that we remember. 50 years. Some of us will be alive when it's the 100th anniversary, but the majority of us won't be here anymore. So this is such an amazing occasion. And today we acknowledge His greatness in His service to the Lord of bringing this liberating knowledge to the material wrecks of this Western world. Because really, when you even analyze 1966, it was a wreck of a place. You know, there was so much fighting, the Vietnam War was going on, it's much the same as today, actually. But that was just and Prabhupada came into this, really. And his greatness is just amazing. So it says that 5,000 years ago, in the course of narrating the Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami uttered the unlikely prophecy, "Kirata, Hunna, Andras, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Sumba, Yavana, members of the Kasha races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Due to His being the supreme power, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So this is Sutta Goswami narrating the scriptures of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta Goswami predicted that people outside India would someday worship the Supreme Lord, right, in all truth. And Lord Chaitanya echoed this prediction. Lord Chaitanya also stated that one day my name will be chanted in every town and village of the Lord. So it's just recently we noticed that there's going to be the Harinam week, the holy week of the holy name. So this is an opportunity to again broadcast this holy name of the Lord to all those people. So even as late as the mid-20th century, people in India, you know, followers even of Lord Chaitanya were saying, well, to go across to the Western world, hey, Hari Bol Prabhu, good to see you. To go across to the Western world, to go to America, Russia, China, Australia, is an impossibility. They're not interested in God consciousness. They're not interested in Krishna consciousness. Why the hell would you go? How is it possible that you can do something like this? But in August 1965, at 70 years old, a Vaishnav monk left the holy land of Vrindavan, India, to board a cargo ship bound for America. Well known in India for his scholarship, so Prabhupada was well known for his scholarship and devotion, his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, who had no friends or institutional support awaiting for him, travelled across the sea to present this knowledge. With what little he had, I mean, he had hardly anything. He had a few books of his books, a bag full of cereals, and 40 rupees in his pocket, and was nearly rendered useless by having two heart attacks on the way over. So Srila Prabhupada persevered. This is a warrior. This is a preaching warrior, a spiritual warrior. He dedicated to the order of his Guru Maharaj, he went ahead with the essential message of Krishna to the English-speaking people, in fact to the whole Western world that have taken it up. So after 35 days on board the Jaladuta, on September the 18th, Srila Prabhupada reached Boston. So Boston, for those of you that weren't here, Boston for the first time is erecting the Indian flag as a commemoration to Prabhupada's landing in the Western world. So this is amazing. The governor is giving a speech. And, yeah, pretty far out. So this is, in fact, it is seen as a new dawn. This was an amazing time. Srila Prabhupada brought with him the first rays of the blazing sun of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So as the sun was rising in Boston, he was on the boat, and this was the rays of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement hitting the Western world. The ancient inscrutable prophecy of the Bhagavatam and the deliverance of the Western world intersected in a humble Sanskrit prayer, it was Bengali prayer actually, that Srila Prabhupada composed for his beloved Krishna while at Commonwealth Pier. Here is the English translation to the Bengali song Srila Prabhupada wrote the day after he arrived. It gives us an indication of what kind of mood Srila Prabhupada was in when he arrived, and he understood the full import of his presence in America and what it would mean to so many. So some of the verses he wrote are as follows. And on this day, I think it's very appropriate that we read this again. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. So even Prabhupada, he just present the message. But I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Oh my Lord, I'm simply praying for your mercy so that I'll be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, your will, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. That's powerful. That's Prabhupada's powerful mantra. That was it. Krishna always reciprocates with his pure devotee. This is the key. I wish that you may deliver them. So this is the power of a pure devotee. Krishna has to fulfill this power, this wish. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I'm very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I'm powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it's up to you to make me a success or a failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. If you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have a strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I've been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate and insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, on board the ship Jaladuta Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. So now, 50 years on, what is the legacy of this momentous occasion? What is the legacy? What is Prabhupada? Is the legacy of him. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by his personal efforts while he was on the planet and the work of his sincere disciples who followed in his footsteps, these are some of the legacies that Prabhupada, that we have of Srila Prabhupada. And we're doing these different things because we're compiling this magazine at the moment for the 50th anniversary, highlighting all the different aspects in Krishna consciousness. One of the things is that statistically, since 1966, what has happened to this movement? So I'd just like to read you that as a bit of a preview of what's in the magazine. So because of Srila Prabhupada and his dedicated followers, there are now approximately 600 ISKCON temples worldwide, including temples, farms and schools. 600. When Prabhupada left this planet, there was just over 100. Now there's 600. There have been approximately 516 million books distributed worldwide since 1966. 516 million books distributed. There is now 200,000 active ISKCON devotees on the planet. That means devotees, really dedicated, initiated devotees. There are many, many more devotees that are, you know, not fully dedicated, that have some aspiration, but technically there are now 200,000 active ISKCON devotees. Seems like there's a lot more, doesn't it? Seems like we've got millions. Since 1966, approximately 75,000 devotees have been initiated. It is estimated that 5 million guests visit an ISKCON centre each year. 5 million guests visit an ISKCON centre each year. We estimate 1 billion plates, that's 1,000 million plates of prasadam, have been distributed globally since 1966. Isn't that amazing? 1 billion, 1,000 million plates of prasadam. At present, we are distributing 50 million plates of free food a year. 50 million free food, right? Padayatra has walked... the Padayatra team have walked 200,000 kilometres worldwide, visiting 50,000 villages in 110 countries. It is predicted that approximately 1,000 Harinam parties go out chanting around the globe every week. 1,000 Harinam parties go out chanting every week. And there are more than 6,000 Vaishnav festivals held every year globally in ISKCON. We really like our festivals. So, it's been mentioned earlier that for one to gain the benefit of hearing about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, must hear from a devotee. So, and again, I quote from that verse today, the personality of God, he is the source of liberation from and liberation from the chain of birth and death for all those who are otherwise destined to die. So what is this death? Ignorance is death. Ignorance is death. Not knowing the reality of existence, not knowing the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. That's death. As I said, there was this... and this great gift of Srila Prabhupada gave the world, that he gave to the world, he transformed and continues to transform the deviant, misdirected individuals into devotees of the Lord. And we're all examples of that. We all come from very, very degraded backgrounds. I do personally. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are able to be devotees of the Lord and in some small way actually help in his movement. So devotees that are carrying on the mission he started 50 years ago, teaching the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. We get the opportunity, each and every one of us, to teach these wonderful pastimes of the Lord to other people through book distribution. You know, there was an interesting thing that they mentioned. As I said, I went to this conference that the Pope had instigated. And this is just a classic example of ignorance. The Pope was confronted at one stage. They mentioned this at this conference. The Pope, who in all respects is a kind-hearted soul. He's a humble soul. He actually has also a connection with the devotees. The devotees have been preaching to him in Argentina for a long time. I mentioned once before in class, he is the first Pope to actually recognize that Krishna is a bona fide name of God. He's had lots of prasadam. And so thereby, but he's a good man. He's generally a good man. But in the same token, ignorance is death. You know, like he was confronted by a young man who was incredibly sick and painful. And he confronted the Pope at a function that he was, and he said, "Why am I suffering? If God is good, why am I suffering?" And all the Pope could say is, "We don't know, but all we can do is pray to God." It's like, you know, and this was mentioned, you know, and how that can relieve the ignorance of that young man is just beyond me. But anyway, so those that are instructing the glories of the holy name of the Lord are most dear to the Lord, because they want to give an opportunity to see the beautiful form of the Lord in the deity manifestation. The devotees always want to encourage people to see Krishna. That's why we encourage people to come here to the temple to actually see the beautiful forms of Radha Ballabha, Gaurini Tayan, Jagannathji, Baladeva, and Subhadra, and have a look at them. They're absolutely gorgeous. You know, we get these politicians coming through and they're actually blown out by the deities. They see the deities and just overawed by the beauty of the deities. And each year, I mentioned this before, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but each year when these guests come, in particular, you know, you have people like Ted Baillieu, who was the former Premier of Melbourne. He comes every year because he likes us. He likes us. And this year he brought his wife, and I don't know any of you saw this, but he came, and during the kirtan that Aniruddha Prabhu was leading, he came and he actually offered his obeisances this year to the deities, in front of the deities, and he offered a donation. You know, so it makes, you know, it just, Krishna works from within. And he was talking to his wife, you know, I could see it standing off the side. He was talking to his wife, "Have a look how beautiful they are. See that? They dress them every day." And so he was already starting to preach. It's just an amazing thing. Really. So we give a person an opportunity. We give the person also an opportunity to actually hear these wonderful pastimes of Krishna. You know, we're presenting Bhagavad Gita and so many books to people out in the streets, in the book distribution. We give an opportunity to see the beautiful form of the Lord. We give people instruction how to chant the holy name properly. You know, we give everybody the opportunity. When we meet someone that's in distress, we say, "Look, why don't you try chanting?" You know, so many people come to Krishna consciousness in so many different ways. So we offer them the solace of chanting on beads, you know, chanting the holy name. There is so much emphasis in the world at the moment on mindfulness and meditation and so on and so forth. So the devotees are there to actually fulfill that whole thing of meditation. Real meditation means to connect with Krishna, to connect with God. And this chanting of the holy names is the thing that will actually develop that close connection with the Lord. Because Krishna reciprocates. If there's some genuineness there, Krishna reciprocates. Just as we saw with Ted Bhalya, if there's some genuineness there, which it is, Krishna reciprocates and they can appreciate the beauty of the Lord. We distribute the remnants of the Lord's offerings, delicious prasadam, to all the hungry in the world today. I mean, I went to Crossways the other day. I hadn't been there for a long time. And I just saw how many people, and also I went to Gopal's because I was at this conference. And first I thought, oh, I'll go to Gopal's and have a spinach pie and then go back to the conference because I didn't want to eat what they were eating over there. So I was lucky that Gopal's and Crossways were close handy. So I went there and there was a stream of people coming down the stairs. It was packed at Gopal's. And I thought, oh God, I've only got a half an hour, I can't. So I left. I thought, I'll go to Crossways. Went to Crossways, had a delicious prasadam, you know, and you saw all the people there and the cross-section of society. And I was sitting next to this man who was definitely a derelict of some description. You know, he was really down and out. But he was relishing the prasadam. He came up for a second plate. I said, you really like this food? Not too hot for you? Oh, no, I love it hot. He was just totally enthralled. So, you know, we offer these remnants. And as it said here, you know, that there's 50 million plates of prasadam going out on a regular basis all around the world. 50 million plates of prasadam. It's just huge, you know. Because Prabhupada said prasadam is our secret weapon. We win people over by the prasadam. So this is another way that the devotee actually works his, you know, works the magic of Krishna consciousness. And most importantly, and this was Prabhupada's sentiments throughout his whole life, being the ever well-wisher of people. Being the ever well-wisher, wishing people well, offering friendship to the lonely people of the world today. You know, there's so many lonely, sad people in the world today. Offer your friendship, your devotion, your Krishna consciousness to people, just by being friendly. Like I was at this function the other day, that Congress, and just by being friendly, I mean, you know, people were sort of astounded, well, who the hell is that guy with the funny clothes on? And, you know, but I just said, you know, good morning, how are you? Good afternoon, you know, and just being, be friendly. Oh, he's a nice guy, you know, and then you can actually communicate. And it was only by being friendly that the little nun came up to me, you know, oh, you're such a nice man, you know, so. This, be a friend to everyone, like Prabhupada was. Give them an opportunity to rekindle their relationship with Krishna. This is our mission. That's what we have to do. We have to give people an opportunity to rekindle their relationship with Krishna, their best friend and ever well-wisher. Krishna is your best friend. So as I said yesterday, I was invited to this conference, which was an inspiration of the current Pope, Pope Francis, who actually is a friend of the Hare Krishna movement. I mentioned that. It was a conference to reflect on and respond to Pope Francis's vision of faith. Now this is his statement. Faith that challenges us to renew our commitment to the public good, to be inclusive and just to welcome the poor and the vulnerable. It is a vision which embraces people of all faith, cultures, and people of all goodwill. So this whole conference was brought about because of the refugee situation in the world today. You know, there's so much sadness. So as Krishna conscious devotees, the challenge for all of us must be to bring this knowledge of God consciousness to all those billions who are suffering due to ignorance. Everyone is suffering out there due to ignorance. Ignorance that can be dispelled by association with His divine grace. Let's give all these people that are suffering an opportunity to get in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, through his teachings, will be the source of deliverance for the next 10,000 years. We have to keep that in our foremost mind. That Srila Prabhupada is the potency that is delivering all these ignorant fools in the material world, including us. It's only by His grace that we are here, able to understand what life is really all about and getting the bliss of associating with Krishna. So just as He saved us, we now have to take on the same mission. Save the people with true knowledge. With just the same determination that Srila Prabhupada showed by his personal example. He was just so forthright. Whichever way one can alleviate the suffering of a person, try and do that. Now, Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to use our intellect and our intelligence, that we think of different ways in which we can actually encourage a person in Krishna consciousness. We constantly have to think, how can we present this in a different way? How can we package this? How can we enthuse people? How can we get people to come to this point of realization? So as I said, there's so much talk at the moment about refugees. It's a sad circumstance. Vidura, in fact, was a refugee. He was kicked out of Hastinapur by Duryodhana. And he said, get out of here while you still can breathe, because I'll take your breath away even, you know. So Vidura was actually a refugee, and he went out looking. Was he looking for another place to set up a temple or a castle or something? No. He was expelled by Duryodhana, and his search was for not for a better material arrangement, as a lot of these refugees are doing now, but for spiritual enlightenment. And he was searching for that personality that could actually give him spiritual enlightenment. So he was looking for that devotee that could impart this knowledge about the pastimes of the Lord, about the love that the Lord has for the individual. This was Vidura's raison d'etre, you know, as a refugee. So, and he sought a devotee of the Lord to instruct him. So it's not that we are hard-hearted people, and, you know, that we say to these refugees, you know, you're searching for another land where you can settle. And we respect that. Everyone should have the material facility to keep body and soul together, to be live in a comfortable place. Actually, that is the duty of the leaders of any country, is to make sure that the citizenry is comfortable, is looked after, and so on and so forth. But similarly, we also have to be able to be to give them spiritual nourishment as well. So we first sought out Srila Prabhupada through his books and listening to his classes, and followed and served his dedicated disciples to follow their instructions as to how to practically develop our Krishna consciousness. Now we are saved. We're basically saved. And now we must pass this knowledge on. So yes, you have this situation where refugees are coming and everything. And just recently on YouTube, we saw how the devotees were acting in this capacity. That in Hungary, the devotees in Hungary were making arrangements for prasadam, mass prasadam distribution for the refugees as they were lined up on the highway. The devotees were giving out prasadam. The devotees also sat in amongst the refugees and did kirtan. Did you see that? Anybody see that video clip? Absolutely amazing. And these people who were riddled with sadness and ignorance, you know, the devotees just set up a harmonium and started playing. All of a sudden the kids start dancing and the adults got into it, and they were all starting to have fun on the holy name of the Lord. It was so uplifting. Wasn't it a wonderful YouTube clip? So this is the panacea that the devotees can bring to society. So one thing that happened at this conference, which was really a mind blower, you know, because sometimes you just think, oh, why am I here, you know? And near the end of this conference, you know, most of it was pretty boring stuff, you know. Hate to say it, but it was pretty boring. But at the end, I just said, oh, I've had enough, that's it, I'm out of here. But there are some little snippets of nectar, you know. There was one friend, an interfaith friend, and he's an Anglican bishop. Very, very nice man, Bishop Philip Huggins. And I've been with him for some time, and he responds. He's also an open-minded person, and he reads broadly, and I'm sure he's had some connection with Srila Prabhupada's books, because he was one of the keynote speakers, right? And he started lecturing, and his basic emphasis was that really the only way to sustain compassion, because this was the whole Pope's message, that somehow or other we have to sustain a compassion for those unfortunate and vulnerable. To have a sustained compassion was to regulate oneself by meditating, and quote exactly, on the power of the holy name of God. the power of the holy name of God. He said that is the, and you must work that into your daily regime to develop this sustained compassion. So if you don't actually connect with God, there is no way that you can have compassion for your fellow man. So his idea of the chanting of the holy name of God was the Jesus Prayer. Anybody aware of the Jesus Prayer? Anybody read that? You've heard about that, haven't you? Yeah, Jesus Prayer. So it's Christ have mercy, Jesus have mercy, something like that, you know. So again, he may be doing that and that's a good thing. So that enlivened me when he said that. So the holy name will enliven us to see the Supreme Lord. This is the other thing that he said then after that. That's right. The holy name will enliven us to see the Supreme God in all living entities, no matter how fallen. So, I mean, that's pretty good wisdom. And then he said, and to develop sustained compassion by looking through the eyes of the most vulnerable. To actually put yourself in the position of the most vulnerable. So I learnt a lot from that. Because again, by putting ourselves in the eyes of the most vulnerable, the ignorant, understanding how ignorant we were before we had the connection with Srila Prabhupada. So, who are the most vulnerable? Then I started analysing. Who are the most vulnerable? Those devoid of the knowledge of love of God. And Srila Prabhupada brought that knowledge to the Western world. They're just devoid of it. Prabhupada again says, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me here to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore they have no taste for transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. So the emphasis is on bringing pure love to the world. Bringing this pure message of love that Prabhupada is enunciating on this day 50 years ago. Bring that message of pure love to the world. And he epitomized the statement that Pope Francis said. One of the statements that he said was that, may the balm of mercy embrace all. It's pretty prophetic, but it's lacking potency unless you connect it with Krishna consciousness. May the balm of mercy embrace all. So Srila Prabhupada continues to do just that. You know, Srila Prabhupada started a revolution of love for Krishna. And the balm of mercy for that love of Krishna. And that revolution will continue for the next 10,000 years. This, we are the pioneers, the first ones. We have to be, and I love this phrase that Prabhupada uses, we have to be revolutionaries. We have to be fighters, warriors like Vidura for this true knowledge. We can't be complacent. You know, just as there's a worldwide movement to help the refugees, oh, they're so desperate, you know, there's that picture of the little boy that was laying on the beach. We have to do something. And they had vigils in the middle of the cities, stop the refugees, help the refugees, give compassion. That's all good, but it's sentiment. Along with that, it's not that you stop that, but along with that, give them knowledge. And we're the warriors that are there to give that knowledge to people. We are the transcendental revolutionaries. I was in China recently, which was interesting, because before I became a devotee, I was a communist. I was very... And there was a long-held desire. I was a revolutionary, you know, Che Guevara and the whole thing. You know, I thought the world had to change in one way or another. And I said to Bhakti, the one thing I want still when I go to China is my Mao Zedong hat. And I got a Mao Zedong hat. But I'm now a revolutionary on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. A warrior for Srila Prabhupada. We should all take the message of Prabhupada and alleviate the suffering of the material world. There are so many corrupt individuals, so many corrupt leaders, so many corrupt situations. We say there's terrorists everywhere, there's terrorists here, there's terrorists everywhere. And we have to be the warriors to carry this message of Srila Prabhupada, of love for Krishna, love for Godhead. So I'm going to stop here. I just want to give you a little bit of details before I ask for any questions. The details today is that we're all going to come back to the temple room, those of you that can come back, and offer a homage to Srila Prabhupada. Because at Vyasa Puja, not all of us got an opportunity to actually express our love and our dedication to Prabhupada, and our pledge that we will remain warriors in his wonderful ISKCON movement, that we will push on this message that he started 50 years ago. So every one of us should make a pledge to his divine grace, who's here in the Murti form. Just as Krishna is there in the Murti form, Prabhupada is here with us. That we, in front of Prabhupada, make a pledge of what we are going to do for him. Especially at this time. Especially on this most sacred day, 50 years after he came to the Western world. To say, yes, Prabhupada, I'm with you. So what we're doing is, after breakfast, we'll have breakfast first, so our tummies are satisfied. And then if all of you can come back, those of you that have service, let me know and you can do your first homage, and then you can go and do your service. But for most of the morning today, we're going to be glorifying Srila Prabhupada and eulogizing Srila Prabhupada, offering a homage to Srila Prabhupada, offering a pledge to Srila Prabhupada that we will continue on his great movement. So these are the things that we're doing. And then at the end, we will do just at 12:30. Hopefully everybody has had an opportunity to make a homage to Srila Prabhupada. Then we'll have arati to the deities, and then we'll have a transcendental feast. So everybody can come in and out. You don't have to stay the whole time. Just come in and offer. If you want to stay in here, because quite frankly, it's wonderful to hear our God brothers and sisters and their realizations and their heartfelt sentiment and love for Srila Prabhupada. If you can, stay. If you can't, that's fine too. But and then we'll enjoy a feast together to commemorate this wonderful day. I just want to make one other point. The 50th anniversary, at the last executive meeting, I was deputed to set up a 50th anniversary committee here in Melbourne. So we're looking for people that are interested. Over the next year, the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, we're wanting to do various different events all through the year. So it'll be the 50th Rath Yatra, the 50th Gaur Purnima, the 50th Janmashtami. But in between that, we want to think of different ways to actually infiltrate society. Understanding that this 50th, a golden jubilee, is very important in the eyes of the materialists out there. They think it's really far out. Whoa, you're 50 years old, you know, it's a big deal. So we'll play on that, and we'll encourage the media to actually broadcast the glories of Srila Prabhupada, the glories of his great ISKCON, and the teachings of Krishna consciousness. This is our year, but I need a team of people to work with me, to think of ideas of what we can do. Have more Harinam parties. Get a donation from some wealthy person and put up a big billboard somewhere right in the middle of the city. Hare Krishnas, serving your community for the last 50 years, you know. We continue chanting in the streets, allowing you to hear the glories of the Holy Name. Anything. Just really get into the public's eye. Really to get in their faces to say, hey, we're still here. We're still wanting to present Krishna consciousness. We're still wanting to relieve your ignorance. Just as we've been relieved, we've got the panacea, we want to help you. So I need a team of people to help me with that. I'm enthusiastic about this project. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It won't come around again. So I'm asking for people to help in that. And you can see me anytime, ring me up anytime, and then we can come together and have a meeting and strategically plan out how we're going to do some revolutionary things. some assaults on the material. I'll wear my Mao Zedong hat, but it's okay. All right, Prabhu, any comments or questions at all? Either about today's class or the 50th anniversary or so on and so forth. Yes, Prabhu.
With the thank you very much for the amazing lecture. I was reading the Buddhism book, this Japa.
Yeah.
He had a retreat in October, and then he had written about 140 pages. I was reading this book. He had given all these details, what you told about Prabhupada written in Boston.
Yeah.
All the details. And it's a very nice book for everyone to read, though you are not read. How to improve our changing.
Yeah.
That is what most important. And
the utmost importance.
If you carry even one mantra, if you can do properly, yep. Then that will improve.
That's why I was just so moved when Bishop Huggins said, you know, that to sustain your compassion, to sustain this fervor to present God consciousness, one has to have a regime of proper meditation, you know, of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So we shouldn't take it for granted, you know, or treat it whimsically. This is our connection with Prabhupada and to Krishna. You know?
This is exactly a presentation. It's such a short and very nice, so many comments from Bhagavatam, from various acharyas. So now we can understand, and you can understand that he's saying that Mahaprabhu is Yuga Tar, and Srila Prabhupada is Yuga Acharya.
Yeah.
That's what he can understand from this.
Thank you for that, Mahaprabhu.
I've got one question from you. You mentioned about hope. I wonder how he endorses abortion still in his policy.
He doesn't endorse abortion.
Yeah, he still, because I wrote in last week, Time Magazine, and he had given those three.
No. What he actually did, you have to be correct on this, because the Catholic Church and the Pope do not endorse abortion. They see it as murder. But in his mood of compassion, he is, in the past, people, women and men that have gone along with the abortion have not been able to be forgiven through the Catholic Church. So he has opened it up saying, if you have committed that sin of abortion, you will be forgiven by the Church. Whereas in the past, they weren't forgiven for it. You had to carry that mortal sin, as they put it, with you. So he is opening a more compassionate. He doesn't condone abortion by any stretch of the imagination, but he's offering a forgiveness for those that are genuinely sorry that they have committed an abortion. It's a bit different. It's a bit different. Well, whether the magazine got it right also, yeah.
But that's...
Yeah. But no, he's definitely not. The Catholic Church is totally opposed to abortion. Totally.
And yes. About preaching, I was in Germany in 2012.
Yeah.
I got a meeting, and I met a gentleman on the train, and we were traveling together for about 9 to 10 hours together. And we were talking, life comes from life.
Ah, good.
It was so interesting. Ultimately, he was convinced that life comes from life, because all I was telling about what Prabhupada was telling, writing. And he was there with me up to the temple, Narsingdev temple. He just got out of the bus and I had to go about a few more kilometers. It was so interesting. And then 3 days I was in Narsingdev temple, and it was such a wonderful retreat they had. And such a nice, I didn't know of the program. And so many birthday parties, and so much nice prasad. And they made me give lectures also.
Far out, that's good. There you go.
It became very nice. So Prabhupada's teaching, we can present.
Yeah.
That is very fantastic. And you're saying,
any opportunity. Any opportunity you get. Use your intelligence how to actually... I got a call from Bali, from the communications officer in Bali, and he was complaining how the devotees were actually becoming very fundamental, because in Bali there's a lot of Shaivites and different faith traditions and so on and so forth. And he was saying that the devotees were actually confronting the other Hindus, the Balinese Hindus, that you're not doing this right. That's not the way to preach. Prabhupada didn't do it that way. You know, you encourage people in what they're doing and bring them closer and closer, slowly, slowly. So, yeah, it's interesting. Prabhu, did you have a question?
A lot of people are skeptical when about religion. They say, since they have the answer to everything, they don't see it.
Can you speak up a bit, Prabhu?
People are skeptical when, Hare Krishna is or some other religion, so that we have the answers to everything.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They say that's not possible.
Yeah. Well, everybody has their opportunity to test it out if they like. We never ever drum that point of view. I mean, we're talking in-house here, you know. And we know from our own personal experience that it's been a completely enlivening and you know, spiritually enlightening experience for us. So we know that the panacea is there. And you know, basically it's a fundamental truth in all spiritual paths. But you're right. People will say that. All religions say they've got the way. The Muslims say they've got their way, and the Buddhists say they've got their way, and that's it. So all we can simply do is present the philosophy. As Prabhupada is saying, you know, I'm just presenting, I'm just your mouthpiece. And if someone is sincerely ready to receive that information, like I said at the start of the class, if you're giving a lecture, some people will be drawn to the understanding and other people just drift off and say, oh, you know, all religions say that they're the panacea. But some sincere people may just, it hits with them at that time. And you just give them the experience, you know. You just, look, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to proselytize this. I'm simply saying, why don't you experience it? Why don't you try it? Just have a read of this simple book, have a read of this magazine. If you don't like it, that's fine. We're not, you know, I still like you as a friend, you know. But, and, you know, just try chanting this Hare Krishna. Just do around and see what effect it has. That's how we were taught. You know, I mean, I was adamant I wasn't going to be a Hare Krishna. There's no way. You know, I was happy doing my meditation up to a point, you know, but the devotees infiltrated. You know, I have a little bit more halva. Yeah, I love that halva. Ramai Swami was the one, you know. he saw that I liked the halva. He came around for a second time, give more halva. And then slowly infiltrate, you know. And then in the end, I mean, we were still, although we were interested in Krishna consciousness, still we didn't want to give up our material sort of connection and meditation and everything. And Bhavananda just said, yeah, just add Krishna consciousness to it. Just add chanting Hare Krishna to it. You don't have to give up anything. No, keep doing what you're doing. It's fine. Just add a little bit of Hare Krishna to it. Just try one round. Before you knew it, we were chanting 64 rounds. And saying, to hell with everything else. This is far out. I love it. Because Krishna gives you that extra little shakti. You know that. We all know that. When we started chanting Hare Krishna, you know, whether we were in a room by ourselves or in the temple room or something, you know, when you started that chanting, you go, wow, this is actually something is really happening to me. And it's that little taste that keeps you going for years and years and years. And then you get little snippets of taste as you go along. So yeah, don't force anything. We're not a proselytizing organization. We're revolutionary, but we're not proselytizing. We just say to a person, here it is. Are you interested? And if they are, then we help them. But friendship is the main thing. Friendship is the key to a person accepting what you're saying is true. If you're domineering, it won't work. You have to sugarcoat everything, sugarcoat the medicine. Yeah. Is that right? All right, Prabhu, so look forward to seeing you all back here after breakfast, say at about 10 o'clock or so. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. All right.